KBBI's Evening News is supported by Homer Real Estate, now celebrating 40 years of helping buyers and sellers on the Southern Kenai Peninsula achieve their real estate dreams. Listings can be found at homerrealestate.com or by calling 907-235-5294. It's Friday, May 16th, 2025, and it's time for KBBI's Evening News. I'm Josh Crone. The National Transportation Safety Board released its preliminary findings Wednesday on the fatal plane crash in Nanwalek, which killed two people and seriously injured a third late last month. KBBI's Simon Lopez reports.
The NTSB preliminary report says the Cessna T207 was lining up to land when it veered right of the runway, then turned sharply left before crashing on the beach. Investigators say the surviving passenger told them the plane banked left about 100 feet above the ground before it went down. Witnesses on the ground and another pilot nearby gave similar accounts. Witnesses also reported seeing a dog on the runway just before the crash. Clint Johnson is Alaska's NTSB chief.
That was a reason that the pilot elected to go around. He made that statement to a company airplane that was in trail a couple of miles behind him, and that's what we know at this point right now.
The plane was operating as an air taxi for Smoky Bay Air, which is based out of Homer and flies in and out of the area regularly. Nanwalek is roughly 25 miles southwest of Homer and only reachable by boat or plane. Johnson confirmed that the wreckage has been moved to a secure facility near Wasilla, where investigators will examine the plane for any mechanical problems in the coming weeks.
But there was also some electronic data that was harvested from the airplane, again, to kind of give us a little bit better of an idea of the final moments leading up to this tragic accident.
The investigation will also look at how the airline operates, which Johnson says is standard practice. Two people were killed in the crash, including the pilot, 48-year-old Daniel Bunker, and a passenger, 38-year-old Jenny Irene Miller. Miller was a well-known Inupiaq artist and photographer, originally from Nome. Johnson says it's too early to determine the cause and that the investigation is still in its early stages. He says investigators are aiming to release the final report within a year's time. In Homer, I'm Simon Lopez.
The Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority, a state corporation that seeks to improve health, awarded over $2 million to 24 organizations in the state this year. Three of this year's recipients are on the Kenai Peninsula. KDLL's Hunter Morrison has more on how some of the funds will be used.
The Nikiski Shelter of Hope, just up the road from the North Peninsula Recreation Center, is one of the only homeless shelters on the Kenai Peninsula. Since opening in 2021, it's served over 250 people and their pets. The former dormitory building can house up to 22 clients at a time. It's equipped with a kitchen, children's outdoor play area, and now...
This huge monstrosity is the water tank, pressure tank, for the fire suppression system that we installed.
That's Leslie Rohr, pointing to the 10-foot-tall plastic tank connected to piping in the back room of the shelter. Rohr is the executive director of Love in the Name of Christ, a Kenai Peninsula clearinghouse organization that runs the shelter. She says the system was necessary to keep the shelter open.
Every improvement that we make is an improvement that our residents are able to enjoy.
The Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority helped pay for the system and other improvements with grants, one from last year, plus a similar $50,000 one they just got. The new grant will go toward roof and parking lot repairs, a fence installment, and more.
The whole purpose is to have this as home-like as possible and to help people achieve the skills and the confidence to be self-sufficient and move into stable housing.
The money will also help pay for a new septic and well system. Rohr says that could lead to an expansion or let them shelter more people in a weather emergency. Across the peninsula is the stomping grounds for the Seward Prevention Coalition, a nonprofit that works to reduce high-risk behaviors in children, like drinking and drug use. They run a number of educational programs to help kids grow up to be successful and emotionally balanced adults. The nonprofit was another grantee of the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority. They were awarded the same amount, $50,000, to develop a youth mental health campaign. Its goal is to normalize seeking help.
If you're under the age of 18 in Alaska, you can't get mental health services without parental support.
That's Katie Cornwell, Seward Prevention Coalition Executive Director.
That parental support piece was becoming a big barrier for our kids getting early help.
Last year, the nonprofit surveyed the community to hash out priorities for the campaign. That includes teaching healthy coping mechanisms to deal with stress or trauma. Since the nonprofit works with mental health providers, the money will pay for training that'll help remove stigma for seeking mental health. Those will be geared toward kids and their parents. The grant will also fund the development of educational resources, like videos and print materials, to destigmatize seeking help. Cornwall, with the Seward Prevention Coalition, says the money is crucial to expanding the nonprofit's scope.
So if we didn't have this funding, we just wouldn't be able to do it. And then we'd still be kind of looking at this as a barrier for our youth and our community. And so in order to kind of create that change that we're looking for, the funding is instrumental.
The Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority also awarded a $50,000 grant to the Seldovia Village Tribe for a community healthcare equipment upgrade project. The authority is managed in part by the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation and the Department of Revenue Treasury Division. Reporting on the Kenai Peninsula, I'm Hunter Morrison.
KBBI has a listener survey posted on our website, kbbi.org. Please take a few minutes to fill it out and help us identify programming and schedule preferences. And our concert on the lawn will be held on July 12th. We are currently seeking sponsors, vendors, and volunteers. Applications are available on our website, kbbi.org. For more information, call during business hours, 907-235-7721. And join us for a special fundraiser at the Porcupine Theater this Wednesday, May 21st, for Johnny B. accompanying Charlie Chaplin's Gold Rush. Doors are at 6:30. The movie begins at 7. Beer and wine sales for the evening's event go directly to KBBI. Those under 21 may attend if accompanied by a parent or guardian, and a link to purchase tickets can be found on our website, kbbi.org. Join us tonight at 7 p.m. for Bunnell Arts by Air, a live concert broadcast from Bunnell Street Arts Center. This month's program features folk fusion violinist Chris Murphy, a wily, charismatic performer and violin virtuoso, fusing styles and techniques from across the globe, creating a noirish atmosphere, joyfully bent traditional folk tunes, and belly-up-to-the-bar blues. The live broadcast starts here on KBBI at 7 p.m. The in-person audience must be seated by 6:45. Tickets for the performance are available at bunnellarts.org. And stay tuned after that at 8 o'clock tonight. It's Faking Friday, hosted by David Snyder, and 9 p.m. tonight, Blues Etc. with J.O. And that's it for tonight's news. Thanks to KBBI's Simon Lopez and KDLL's Hunter Morrison for their contributions. If you have a story idea or a news tip, you can email news@kbbi.org. You're tuned into member-supported KBBI AM 890 Homer and on translator K201AO 88.1 FM Seward and online at kbbi.org. Thanks for listening. Have a good evening.